Tonight, Kropotkin, Hendrix, and Bloodshot from the Super Happy Funtime Show join us to recount the major gaming stories of 2008 month by month in this two-hour special edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, week of December 28th, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch. DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
I made the mistake of upgrading Skype, and now it mutes me anytime I answer a call, so now I got to spend the next week trying to find a good version to downgrade to. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. This week, we're reminiscing all about 2008. If you are listening to us live here on All Games Radio, I apologize for starting late. Mostly my fault this time. Get on over to chat.allgames.com, which is our chat room, interactive chat room, where you can come in and give your opinion on what we're talking about in 2008. This is the part where I usually give out, like, our, you know, where you can call in, but you can't call in because we have three wonderful people on with us already, and they are the crew of the Super Happy Funtime Show. And hey, guys, how you guys doing?
No calls tonight, suckers!
Yes, it's all us. Hello, everyone.
We're doing wonderful.
So, Kropotkin, Hendrix, and Bloodshot, we are all here to give you our take on the news, or on what happened, basically. And we're rushing all the last minute. I was rushing at the last minute to find stories. So, shall we go ahead and get into it, guys?
Yes, yeah, just go straight in.
Spin it up.
Oh, you took my joke.
Drop it in.
It begins.
Crack it open.
Shall we crack open the month of January?
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
So who wants to start on this?
I'll start. Okay. I'll start. Because this is my favorite. This is one of my favorite ones of the entire year. Xbox Live, with all of its downtime that it experienced, what was it last? It was the December, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Prior?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in honor of all the downtime, they gave us an even suckier thing, which was Undertow.
Does anyone remember this game? Does anyone still have it installed on their 360s?
If so,
please punch yourself in the nuts.
I'm not going to punch myself in the nuts. I'd have to pay myself $5 to do that.
You know, it was just, you know, oh, we're really sorry Xbox Live was such a mess for a while. Here's Undertow. Oh, really? You want to come run my dog over now, too? Thanks. Much appreciated.
Steady family show.
And it was like, it was this Unreal Engine game, but it was a 2D sports title kind of thing. What?
It was poop, let's be honest. It was crappy.
Yeah.
But they finally got everything taken care of, and then they were like, well, instead of giving you all money, we're going to give you this $10 game.
Which wasn't worth $10. It was worth, well, nothing.
It was worth negative $10.
And, yeah. and then if you already had the game, then you could pick another game that gave you the 800 points.
Yeah.
If you had already bought the game. Well, we're sorry you already bought that game. Here, you can have any game. VXJSnexV says it wasn't a bad game.
He needs to stop drinking before playing that, then.
It wasn't the worst game ever played, I grant you. But it was bad.
Well, the worst game's reserved for something else. So.
Don't.
But Xbox Live Arcade games go, it was bad.
No. There were worse games, though. But it wasn't the one you're thinking of.
We'll get to that later.
Go on.
So,
I don't remember it. I was pretty drunk at this point.
Yes, the Yaris game, which was never released in... Jason X is saying that in chat. It's the Yaris game. That was bad. But I never played that because it never was released over here. Hooray!
Yeah, Yaris was bad, but Undertow was worse because they were charging for it.
Yeah.
What's the next story? Should I take the next story? I'm a bit confused about this one.
Yeah.
PSP Slim announced at CES. Are we talking about a PSP 3000?
That they called it the PSP Slim at the time. But right. Yeah, that was in my notes, is that they had announced the slimmer PSP at
Are you sure about this?
I don't know.
I'm a bit confused. Because the PSP Slim was launched last year.
Well, this was the one that would allow you to have Skype built in.
Yes.
Okay, so that would be the 2000, wouldn't it?
No, the 3000 with the Skype built in and the microphone and the funky
right.
new
the
screen.
2000 was the one that was released before that had the video yes. out.
That's
this
right.
is the 3000.
That was last year.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the 3000. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. 2000 is the one that was announced with Chewbacca.
Hold on. Right. Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
And the 3000 was the one that they flashed around. This is one of the dodgy screen, isn't it?
Yes.
It's got a alignment of screen is horizontal. Well, the pixels mm-hmm. is horizontal as opposed to vertical, or is it the way around? I can't remember.
It was one of those, yeah.
Yeah, and it screws up. And it looks fine on 3D. I've seen it going, mm-hmm. but it doesn't work too well with 2D sprites. So if you got Final Fantasy games or any other games, Disc Gear games, for example, don't look very nice at all from what I've seen. So, oh well. So they're releasing 4,000 next year, aren't they? So they say.
Yeah.
Which will probably fix the problem.
Has anybody bought, like, did you buy these new PSPs? Because I still have the one I bought on launch day.
No comment.
I have a second one, but mine's still an original, and that's only because I dropped my original, so.
I must confess that I did have got 3,000 because I traded my old one in.
Okay.
My old one had a pixel in it.
Okay.
So I traded my old one in, and the screen is fantastic, mm-hmm. provided you don't have 2D sprites on it.
Yeah.
But I've been playing Locoroco 2 on it, and it's been fine. So, yeah.
Bloodshot, did you get a PSP?
I imported a sparkly blue one, 2000, from Japan.
And how much did that set you back?
It wasn't that much more than
a cowboy hat?
Regularly paid. Yeah.
Cowboy hat or his gold-plated toilet or all that other stuff that he has.
I mean,
my stack of 360s.
Yep.
Your gold-plated toilet. We do have to say, though, that we on the Super Happy Fun Time show are big supporters of the PSP because it is a good system and it's much maligned and it's wrong.
I would be a bigger supporter of it if they would give me some more games to play.
I know, but even still, it's a great, great system. It shouldn't be so, so bad on it. Anyway.
Next story.
So the next one I'm going to kind of change. It's... The original story was about the Burnout Paradise because the demo came out.
Right.
And what they did with the demo is that they actually added features to the demo. They were already in the demo, but they were kind of time-locked. But it was kind of neat that they added more as the game became released. And I also kind of want to talk about Burnout Paradise throughout the year in this one little segment about how I apologize to people for calling Burnout Paradise my game of E3 when it came out because I got bored with it after a week. But it's the model of how to do DLC correctly. Do you agree?
I would totally agree with that.
Yes, I would totally agree. The way it expanded the game, almost turning it into a platform in of itself, is something that should be applauded.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just really neat the way that they've been putting stuff in, and now they're actually, even over a year later, they're going to still be releasing content. And they're going to charge for it, but I guess people are okay with that because they've gotten so much for free. And they want to now have a DeLorean and hover around.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think that's fine. I mean, you know, they gave people a lot of free stuff for it. And, you know, they're saying, hey, you know, we're going to keep it coming. We got to charge you for it at some point. And I think that's fine. And, you know, the other thing was what they did with Burnout Paradise, with the DLC and with the demo, you know, adding the features... It's kind of one of the reasons why I think a lot of people should stop bagging on EA as much as they used to. I mean, EA's done a lot right to kind of give themselves a better name.
And Hendrix, didn't you sell Burnout Paradise?
I sold it and then I rebought it.
Then you rebought
it. Because I'm a sucker.
Because you wanted bikes.
I wanted the bikes. I played the bikes for a week and I haven't touched it since.
As you know, I didn't because I'm a pack rat, but you know, but I'm loving this new free content. But I understand that it's going to be first time paid content next year, isn't it?
Right. But the way that they are also – one of the things they were also doing is that they said it required the hard drive to to play online. That way, if I bought the DeLorean, you didn't have to buy the DeLorean to be able to see me going past you at 88 miles per hour.
Hovering by.
Yes. Bloodshot, did you – do you still play
Bloodshot? I actually just bought that – like I traded it in. Mm-hmm. Not long after it came out, because I got bored of it pretty quick. But I literally just got that game from GameFly yesterday. I bought it, got it for $10. It was a pretty good deal. And me and AlphaBox and from Dead Pixel Live and Toaster and Maximilian, we played that game till 2 a.m. yesterday. I'd forgotten how much fun that game actually is.
Thanks for the invite, jerk.
I didn't even know you must have. You probably logged on while I was asleep because I passed out while I was downloading the patch. It took forever.
You're dead to me.
Save it for the show. Save it for the show.
It was payback for the laser gun.
Sorry, Black Wolf, we're rough riding over your fine show.
Oh, it's okay.
You should have known this would happen.
Oh, so that's why we have this show.
I think we're going to park Burnout. Hey, yeah. See what I've done there?
Yeah.
See? Clever. Should we move on to the Mass Effect one?
Yes. This one's going to be big. Who want Bloodshot, you want to kind of introduce this one for us?
Mass Effect controversy.
Controversy.
I have. Mass Effect controversy on Fox News.
This was the big one where, you know, this was kind of like the first big story of the year, really. Where there was the lesbian scene between the hermaphrodite alien and the woman. And Fox News just went crazy and got this chick who didn't know anything about it and didn't even really see the scene. And then she went on and saying that this is horrible. And, you know, obviously all the young little boys are going to choose to have the lesbian sex scene. And they're going to click yes on the box that comes up that says, do you want to have sex with a lesbian? Yes. Okay. And, they cut off Jeff Keighley and wouldn't let him talk.
It was amazing. This story had such long legs. It's still rolling about. It's still rumbling. People still make reference to it. It's like
dirty porn.
It's a milestone little story that no one likes to let go. No one wants to let the mainstream media let off from this. They shouldn't be. They should be chastised for it. It was obscene. Not what they were talking about, but how they were lying.
Yeah,
it was astonishing. And I'm still seething about it 12 months later. It still boggles the mind how obscene it was.
I heard that Mass Effect comes with a free subscription to Playboy.
And some Kleenex.
And some Kleenex.
Is this Rez in Japan? What?
steady.
The thing that got me with this was that they were showing pictures of the scene, and they were showing parts of the scene, and they were talking about how horrible it was, and they were talking about how we can't show you this on network TV, but they were actually showing you the worst part of it.
Yeah,
and they were just saying, we can't show you the scene, but they did, and so people thought there was more when there really wasn't.
There was one thing to point out towards the end. There was one fellow who said one, because I actually seen it about a month ago again. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to someone about it. They couldn't believe it, so I sent them a link to it. And I watched it again, and there's one fellow at the end who actually makes sense. Who actually says something very sensible.
Mm-hmm.
No one really talks about that bit. If you watch it again, right at the end, it's this one voice of reason.
Right.
But it's kind of drowned out by everyone else.
Yeah.
And I think. What I love about the fact is the backtracking by that woman, I can't remember, Cooper something.
Yeah.
She completely retracted a statement after the attack she got on Amazon. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, she has a book which is about making like a girl feel better about herself, and it's very seductive on the cover and stuff. So everybody went in to her Amazon review, Amazon.com page, and left a review based on the cover of the book. Just like she made a national statement on Mass Effect based on the cover, based on what she was told. And everybody even said, I never read the game, because she actually went and, you know, Jeff Keighley asked her, did you play the game? And she just looks at him and goes, no, of course not.
That's right, she did. She yeah. laughed.
She laughed and said, no, of course I didn't play the game. I don't play video games.
That's right, because it's beneath her.
And then she was finally shown the entire scene in question. She's like, damn it, Fox, you guys played me. You know, pretty much. I mean, it was she phrased it differently, but
yes,
she admitted that, you know, it was Fox's director who told her what they wanted her to say. And she went off on that.
You know, that it serves her right for being a puppet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she's still in Poop City as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think Fox would ever be... I mean, we all know Fox News is what it is. It has an agenda. It's the US's version of the Daily Mail over here. Mm-hmm. And we know what they're like, and that's fine. We all understand what their agenda is. Fine, we'll just leave them to it. And I love the retorts. I love the parodies that have sprung up against it. They're still very, very funny. If you haven't seen them on YouTube, by all means, have a go. There's some really funny stuff out there based on that. But let's just let that go now, I think. No, don't completely let it go, because they need to be reminded how much of a douchebags they were. But let's move on.
Yes, and so this is a European story, so, Crop, I'll let you read it.
Really, really short. The PlayStation 3 sells Xbox 360 3-1 in continental Europe. I just want to make that headliner, and that just want to remember that this happens in January of this year, and we'll come back to that headline towards the end of our little bit, or say little, at the end of this show, because I'm just saying things kind of turn around towards the end of the year. But that's what happened at the beginning of this year. The PlayStation 3 was going great guns in Europe, not in UK, in Europe, beginning of this year.
So moving on to February, I'll have Hendrix, the EA sympathizer, read this one.
EA admits to blowing it with regards to Bullfrog and Origin. Well, you know what? It's a part of the healing process for them, and getting there as a true EA sympathizer, it's all a part of, you know, them getting themselves back in a good light.
Yeah, because basically EA, originally they were trying to bring everybody into the EA fold, and now they're talking about doing like these like little city states and stuff. That's kind of how they look at it, where each developer is their own autonomous thing, and then EA just publishes it under their name instead of EA coming in and trying to say this is how you will do things.
Yep,
that's basically what he was saying.
It was certainly part of their, oh look, we're nice and fluffy now. The people we meant to hate are, we didn't know at the time.
Right.
In fact, I've noticed in the news story, we don't actually cover this because it's not really a news story, it's just something that happens. But we all know acty jerks turn into the new evil empire.
I didn't remember which month he made that comment.
No.
That's why I didn't put it in.
It was pretty recent. I think it was a couple of months ago. Might have been October.
We'll talk about it because we actually do talk about the merger.
But yeah, that's when those. So this is part of EA going, look, we're not evil at all. And, you know, this is all part of that. And they were right. They shouldn't have done what they did to Bullfrog, because there's still some great games they made back in the day that they've now lost to the past. Syndicate being one. New Syndicate, please. Anyway.
And then I'm flipping to right now. This leads into, right after they said that, EA starts trying to take over Take-Two.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
You know,
it's like 1 week later.
Going from villain to hero doesn't happen overnight.
They try to buy all the tickets.
You don't wake up the next day with a heart of gold. You kind of have to replace it bit by bit.
No. It's not about that. This is about Hero to Binky the Clown, because it was clown-like. It was ridiculous how it all... Their desperate attempt to take over Take-Two, we now look in hindsight, was at the time people were going, oh, that's a surety, because at the time one thought EA was the evil empire,
right?
But now it's like, oh, it's a bit silly. You know, Christ, EA are shedding staff like no one's business now, so you can hardly afford to buy out anyone, let alone maintain their own staff. So yeah, it's looking back on it in hindsight, 2020 and all that, yeah, that's not how it turned out.
Yep.
So yeah.
So who wants to read the movie?
Yeah,
I'll read it.
Yeah.
Toshiba pulls out of HD DVD. Blu-ray wins!
Woo! So finally now everybody knows exactly what player to buy. Two months after I bought my dad an HD DVD player for Christmas.
Oops. Oh, no.
Which he still has, and he has like 20 movies for it. He bought them all for like $3.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not bad.
We can put it right next to our Laserdisc collection, which we have hundreds of.
Wow.
We actually bought the Laserdisc player back in the 70s when they were first
man.
Doing the Laserdisc. And so, like,
was it steam-powered? Was it steam-powered?
No. But everything was DiscoVision.
You had a Betamax, didn't you?
Actually, my dad, yes, he does have a Betamax, yes.
They were better than VHS, actually.
Yes, they were. And that's what he used to record all our home movies on. And then we had to transfer him to VHS.
Mm. Oh, well.
So it just goes right in the pile of failed movie formats.
But no one wins the format wars, right. Really. It shouldn't happen. You know, DVD didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And everyone won, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, there was a mini war for writers, if you remember. DVD-Rs, mm-hmm. minus, rubbish. Yeah. But, no one wins format wars. No one does. And this shouldn't have happened. Toshiba should have done the right thing and joined in Sony and another. Just made a new format. That's fine. But they didn't. And we all lost out. We now have a 360 with a nerfed format system that we now... Oh, anyway, that's another discussion for another time.
Tiger Claw asked me in chat, does the Laserdisc player still work? Actually, yes, it does. We still have it. My dad still has it hooked up to his big TV. Even does digital audio out. And the nice thing about this Laserdisc player, because it's a more recent one, it's in the past 5 years or so, is instead of you having to take the Laserdisc out and flip it, to go to the next side, it actually has a laser on both sides, so it flips the discs internally. It just goes to the other laser.
Wow.
So you don't have to
I've got a really, really early DVD version of Starship Troopers, mm-hmm. and I have to turn that over halfway through the film.
Really?
Seriously, I do. It's really, really old. It's one of the earliest DVDs. Remember the old... covers, not the standard boxes you see now, but this is really old. It's like a cardboard thing. You have to
they had the little cardboard flap.
That's right, yeah. So it's one of those. And, and this little icon comes up with this hand and it's turning the disc around.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a collector's item, I guess. Shall I sign off with the last story?
Yes.
UK government seeks to change the gaming rating system. I've found it fascinating over the past year that ratings kept on being mentioned in your show and many other podcasters and forums and what have you. Mm-hmm. And it always, I know we've had this discussion many times before, but just to reiterate something or to recap, we in the UK have a legally enforced rating system, which is something that your fine nation has been fighting against for many, many, many years, mm-hmm. because it's unconstitutional.
Right.
We don't have a written constitution. We don't have any legal founding for our own sort of rights as regards to freedom. We don't have that. We never have had that. Our constitution is the Queen. Okay? Mm-hmm. Same with Canada, believe it or not. So, because of that, Parliament can exact bills of Parliament that can restrict our rights, what we have them. And one of them is the sale of certain videos and DVDs and video games. And video games, for about 20 years now, 20 years we've had a legally enforced rating system. It's very simple to understand. We have it rates from PG, that's not from U, PG, then it goes 12, up to 15, then 18. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I know you don't have a middle ground. You don't have a 12. You don't have a 15, I think, your rating is. You have teen, which is 13, then it goes to mature, then adults only.
Right.
Now, these are legally enforced ratings. Okay, so there's the BBFC, which doesn't rate all video games, it only rates a few of them. And it's rather complicated which ones it rates, but it actually is volunteered by the publishers. Mm-hmm. So they say, oh, this game's a bit, Gears of War, for example, I believe has an 18 certificate because of the gore.
Right.
Which means it's illegal for a shop clerk, not for the store, but for the shop assistant, to sell the game to anyone under the age of 18. If they sell the game to anyone under the age of 18, that shop assistant, not the store, can be legally prosecuted against. They could have a fine of £2,000 or be imprisoned.
Yeah.
Not the store.
Right.
The person doing the sale.
Now, theoretically, the ESRB that we have in the U.S., that is also voluntary, but
yes.
Stores don't carry your game unless it's got an ESRB rating. But it's technically voluntary.
Indeed. But the confusion thing is, and the reason this thing's flagged up, is that in the U.K., and indeed Europe, there are two rating systems.
Yeah, PEGI.
There's the BBFC, and then there's the PEGI rating system. Which is voluntary. In fact, it's very, very, very similar to the ESRB. The only difference being is that we don't have a letter system. That wouldn't work in Europe because of all the different languages. We have a numbering system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's the 12. I think there's 12, 13 as well. There is a 15 rating and an 18 rating. But that's actually in the UK, and indeed many other parts of Europe, they sort of double up. And you have, like, if it's one or the other. You know, you don't have PEGI and a BBFC rating. That would be stupid. It's either or. Okay? And what the UK have now tried to do, the UK government is now looking at it going, we need to fix this. Mm-hmm. This doesn't work. You know, we're okay with legally enforced. We're not going to change that. Oh, no. Although we're not quite as bad as Australia. They hate video games.
Yes.
But we are, you know, we are going to change it. And there's another story later comes out later on. But this is the UK government seeking to clarify things. So there it is. So that's the system we've been living in for many, many, many years. And, you know, rarely, rarely has it really caused a problem unless you're Take Two.
Right. Or Running with Scissors.
Or, yeah.
That's about it. So March, who wants to read the first story in March? Who has a personal connection to this one?
I think Bloodshot should go. Not that he has a personal connection, just so that he speaks for the first time in 20 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep during that whole diatribe earlier, but I didn't understand. Okay. Gary Gygax passed away.
Anybody here remember who Gary Gygax is?
I remember the name. I don't remember the game.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Pen and paper, rolling dice.
Yes.
D20.
He was the co-creator. He was not the sole creator, and unfortunately, nobody remembers the name of the other creator. I don't. So, but he passed away. The creator of Dungeons and Dragons, probably the first role-playing game, and which actually itself was considered satanic and had lots of parents scared.
I remember that.
My parents were scared.
Growing up as a kid, it was like everybody was like, "You're not playing that Dungeons and Dragons. You're going to end up worshiping the devil."
And my parents took away my player's handbook, and I dared them to find anything satanic in it. They couldn't, so they gave it back to me.
just a point of note, right? I have to stress this.
Yeah.
None of that happened where I came from.
Right.
No devil work. This didn't happen.
Nope.
Right? All that scare stuff, all that. No. I think that really is a kind of indicative, fairly typical.
Well, you're all godless heathens, so
yeah.
Yes.
Pretty
no, no, it's true. No, that is no. You're laughing and chuckling, no, but that is generally it's true. That's throughout Europe, really. That's a cultural thing. The god thing doesn't really wash with us that much these days. But no, didn't bat an eyelid. It was extremely nerdy, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get punched a lot by my older brothers. That's the only thing that stopped me from playing it. Stop punching me!
Speaking of punching, on the Wii, people started buying Wii games in March. Or rather, a Wii game, singular. We finally got Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
No, you did.
We did, that's right. Us.
Yes.
US, us.
Yes.
We're the center of the world.
Whatever.
And then a week later, we stopped playing the
right.
Wii. Moving on.
We played it for a week, unlocked everything, and then said, okay, bye. And then there's debates raging on whether it's a fighting game or not. What would you call it?
Boring.
A game I never played.
Mildly entertaining for 20 minutes?
But you get to see Mario beat up Sonic.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome. When I draw the pictures in my notebook... I always make Mario and Sonic fight.
I make them do other things.
So when did you guys get Smash Brothers?
June, I think it was.
And when did you get Mario Kart?
April.
And when did you get Super, that Striker, the soccer game, football game?
Oh, yeah, that was earlier as well. That was March.
Yeah, so you're sitting here complaining. When did you get Korg DS10? That was before us, too.
That was 2 or 3 weeks before you, yeah. Which I'm still playing. Thank you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Hendricks.
Lies!
I actually just, I got it from Amazon, so it's going to get here Monday or Tuesday.
We got Wii Fit like a month, 6 weeks before the U.S. as well.
So why are you complaining? Why are you complaining that Smash Brothers was late?
Because I am. Okay. It's just annoying. We hate it when we like have to wait 6-7 months for a game.
Hey, at least it's not Metroid Prime Pinball.
That was 20 months. We had to wait 20 months for that game.
So who wants to read the next story?
I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah,
Gibson sues music game makers.
For absolutely no reason at all. Kind of.
Yeah, and they had licensed stuff in Guitar Hero, didn't they?
They did, and then Activision said, yeah, we're not working with you anymore, and so they sued. No, they sued everybody but them, I think. Oh, no, that's the next. There's another company that sues all the music game makers. And Gibson, this was a patent. We actually went through it on this show, and actually we looked through the patent live on the air, and we're like, what are they talking about? Gibson has this patent for a Gibson guitar, a real guitar that you plug into a DVD player that will play a concert on your TV, and you could play your guitar, and it goes through the TV speakers. So you're basically playing, the DVD has all the other songs, or all the other parts of the song except for the guitar, and the TV screen shows the crowd in front of you as if you're standing on stage. And then you play the guitar to the music, your real Gibson guitar. And they're suing Guitar Hero and Rock Band for copyright infringement, or trade patent infringement, that they had patented this idea. It didn't go anywhere. At least I don't think it did.
Yeah, well, what happened to it? Nothing.
I haven't heard a single thing since. But that happened.
Well.
Cops coming for you? I figured cops were coming for Crop right now.
They were, yeah. They sent him out of time.
So, one of our favorite bald people left. Who wants to read this one?
I'll do this one, seeing it's from our part of the world. Mr. Harrison, he left Sony Computer Entertainment for Atari, or Infogrames, as you all know, as they're really called. Weirdest move I ever saw. Like, what the hell? What's going on? What's Phil moving from Sony to Atari? Does he know something that we don't?
I thought what we kind of surmised was that he realized that Sony Japan didn't get what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And they were trying to put their fingers in it, like, because I know Kaz Hirai didn't like Home. And you know, Phil, and I think Sony Japan went in and did things to Home that Phil didn't agree with, and that's why we all don't like Home.
Yeah, I have my own theories about Home.
Wasn't Phil quoted recently as saying Home is exactly what he was hoping it was going to be? Something along those lines. He was praising it. I thought a while.
He
back.
Has to be very, very careful because he's now one of the head honchos as a publisher that publishes on all platforms, and he doesn't want to annoy anyone. You know, he's got to balance everything. I remember him talking about how he made a Mii at a Sony event. You know, he confessed. He's sort of chuckling away and confessed that, oh yes, I made a Mii at an Atari. At a Sony event. Ha ha ha! Because he's trying to, you know, be all things to all men now. Because that's what he has to do. But just to move away from the Home thing, because it's very easy to get just sidetracked on that.
Especially since we're revisiting it later.
Yes. Let's look at what's happened to Atari. All of a sudden, they're digging up old Interplay works that they now have rights to.
Ghostbusters.
They got Ghostbusters. What else have they picked up from that? From the Evil Empire that dropped. I can't think else.
I don't think they got the other big game, which we talk about, I think later, or the other big game got picked up by EA. So,
well, the other thing Atari is publishing is Race Pro.
Oh, that's true, Race Pro by Simbin. But the fact of the matter is that they really are. One point, they were on their last legs. With people going, oh, there goes Infogrames. But no. Somehow, they're buying people up. They're buying up new properties. They're pushing, you know, they had this recent Atari Days thing. Riddick. And Riddick, yes.
Yeah, Riddick was the one, yeah.
Yeah.
The Jaded Gamer said that one for us in chat.
Jaded Gamer, yep. Yes. Me. So, yes, thank you, GK. So, as I was saying, Atari really turned things around ever since Phil arrived. And I know he brought some other people. In fact, he managed to poach some former Sony people and put them in Atari. So,
So, and we're ending March, but I want to look back, and we're going to do this probably about every 3 months. A travesty in the gaming industry. A travesty in the gaming industry. Hendrix, what is the travesty of the gaming industry in March?
In March, you could still find Two Worlds on store shelves.
Oh, boo!
Terrible.
Worst game
horrible.
Ever
terrible.
Made.
That's someone should be dragged out and shot over that. Really. Shouldn't happen. Little children could be exposed to that.
And you know,
the
people that made that actually came to me, and they were thinking that, you know, maybe they should come and do an interview about something about their expansion for it at PAX. And I was like, I wonder if Kropotkin and Hendrix would be there to help me with that interview.
Yeah, as I whip them around the booth by their hair.
So let's move on to April. Who wants to start? Bloodshot, you want to read the first thing?
DualShock 3 announced.
What? April Fools, right? The Sony's going to have Rumble?
No, that's last gen.
Oh, we don't need Rumble. We've got this tilting controller. Okay, you can have Rumble for $50-$60.
Yep.
Well, no, we couldn't have Rumble because it doesn't work with the tilting controller.
That's right.
It was last gen technology anyways. Mm-hmm. They didn't need it.
And then they settled their lawsuit with Immersion. And hey, it all works together now. Give us money.
Magic.
Give us a bunch of money for the good controller.
Because Immersion was like, they announced that, oh, well, you know, we couldn't have Rumble and the accelerometers in the same place. And Immersion was like, well, we spent about 3 hours specking it out, and yeah, you can do it.
Not to mention the Wiimotes already had that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's Nintendo. Nobody pays attention to Nintendo.
Yeah.
No, least of all Sony.
They're gimmicks.
This is obscene. And it took ages for it to arrive in our respective territories, I think. I know you got it first, but it took quite some time for us before we got it.
Well, Japan got it even earlier than we did.
November, I think they got it about last year. And then you got it in March, I think it was.
Or April.
April, yeah. And I think we got it sort of... July, August time, something like that.
Yeah. So, finally, joining in with the Rumble. So,
I have to give him credit because, you know, the as much as I hated paying extra for the Rumble controller, it feels better to play with that controller because it doesn't feel like I'm going to crush it in my hands like just the plain six-axis.
And now I think it comes standard on all new PS3s anyway, so... Nobody will be playing with it. Kind of like the old Xbox controller. When they came out with the controller S, you couldn't find the fatties anymore. Same kind of thing.
Do you remember those? They were the size of a small continent.
They were.
I think I still have one.
That small continent of Europe.
Yeah. A small country. They were. They had their own principality. And there it was, your Xbox controller. Amazing. It was a tax haven. That's how big it was.
So this April also, this was kind of interesting. This was a website that here in the U.S., whattheyplay.com, they did a poll because I think they have like more like parents and things like that, people on their site. And they had a poll of what is more offensive in a video game. And I didn't like paste the entire poll, but I do remember like there was like beheadings, extreme violence, a date between a man and a woman, and gay sex. And gay sex won. So, according to parents, gay sex is more offensive than a beheading, gory, violent murder in a video game. Welcome to America.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is,
yep.
I guess. Can't believe it's that long ago, that story. Wow.
Yeah, that was in April.
Amazing. Go on.
So, who wants to skip the next line, and we'll go down to the other big game that with the four. Who wants to start off about this one?
Me.
Okay, go for it.
Grand Theft Auto 4 came out!
Finally! It was delayed, like 6 months.
Yep.
Anybody even remember?
Yeah, I remember this. I remember I picked it up. I did a midnight thing, actually, because that was in the UK as well. Because in theory, we actually got it about 5-6 hours ahead than North America. Because it came out the same day in both Europe and the US.
Yeah.
So we got it actually. Well, actually, the earliest was the Australians.
Right.
Although they got the massively nerfed version.
Yeah.
With the fluffy bunnies or something, mm-hmm. you know. And they were all the guns were nerf guns. Probably. Just saying. Probably.
But, I mean, and it's kind of funny because once it came out, everybody forgot that it had been delayed for 6 months, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and then they were like, oh, we're going to get exclusive content by the end of 2008 to the Xbox 360.
I have to say, it was my game of the year. I thought it was absolutely fabulous. I know it wasn't Hendrix or Bloodshots, but it certainly was mine. But there was a lovely story, not a lovely story, but a very pathetic story, again, drummed up by the media, mm-hmm. saying that there was a stabbing in a place called Croydon, which is in South London. Saying, oh, yes, so people were stabbed as they bought the game. No. This stabbing occurred right on the other side of town, nowhere near anyone queuing for the game.
I thought it was, like, across the street or something. I didn't realize it was across the town. No. Like, I knew it wasn't there. I mean, it might have been... Now, wasn't, like, the person being stabbed a gamer and thinking about getting it, or no?
No, it was a 20-minute walk away. Mm-hmm. It was in a pub. And there was a fight outside a pub. Nothing to do with the game at all, or the queuing or anything.
Well, it happened on the same night, so it obviously had everything to do with it.
Exactly.
I can see how they could make that mistake. Mm-hmm. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Because it was on the news. And everybody's like, hey, there's a video game about stabbing people. I could stab somebody right now. Stab, stab, stab.
And it was GTA 4's fault. I mean, I haven't even actually played the game yet. I just bought it.
Yeah,
the mere fact that it exists.
Yeah, nobody played it because Rockstar doesn't send out promo copies to anybody, so obviously nobody played it.
No, that's right. So I still think it was it was a real highlight for the year, especially releasing it. It was the perfect month to release it because not a lot was happening in that month, and what I found most entertaining was how a lot of games were not going to release anywhere near that. Sorry. We're not touching that.
Except for Mario Kart. Mario Kart Wii in the US released like a week before or a week after or something.
Oh, okay. I can't vouch for that. That didn't happen here. I do know my 360 died 4 days before.
Ooh.
But I could take it back to my retailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no biggie.
So, Bloodshot, you want to read the next one?
First rumors of Blu-ray drive for 360 emerge.
Because obviously the 360 is releasing with a Blu-ray. Obviously.
Yep. Obviously.
Exactly.
How could it not?
Exactly. DVD was dead. They needed to... It's coming. Yep. It's still coming.
They're going to announce it at E3. No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. In fact, they keep on denying this one. Mm-hmm. Really emphatically. To the point where Netflix is the future! Or love film if you
see. That's my conspiracy theory. Okay, my conspiracy theory with Microsoft. I'm gonna get all buckfish on you guys. My conspiracy is the reason Microsoft backed HD DVD rather than Blu-ray was so neither one of them would win, and so digital distribution would actually win because that's who Microsoft really backed.
That makes a little bit of sense. So that's not. I have to take my tinfoil hat off now because that actually does make sense.
That's why I don't think they're going to put a Blu-ray drive. Even though they could, I don't think they will. And they're definitely not going to release an Xbox 360 with a Blu-ray drive in it.
No.
Their next machine will.
Yeah.
They've got no choice. It's the format. It's the standard format. Yeah. There's nothing they can do about that. Right. They have to launch the next Xbox, whatever that is.
Or do they?
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. They can't do Down Under World.
Or do they?
Because it requires massive infrastructure upgrade in your nation alone. You know
what
that.
If the, what if the next like. System is everything's digital download?
No, like I said, it can't because... it can't because can that annihilates...
Can you see the future?
Steam says hi.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is that there's a vast section of your nation that doesn't have any broadband. Okay?
What if broadband clause comes next year and everybody has?
Suddenly Doomplague has broadband.
Yeah.
Obama is obviously going to fix that.
Because he wants change.
That's what we can believe in.
That actually is one of the things he's talking about doing is expanding broadband, but that's a topic for another show.
So what happened in UK?
The UK, something called the Byron Report, which is a white paper that was released for Parliament to discuss the game rating system that I hinted at earlier. Mm-hmm. And this woman called Dr. Byron, she's psychologist, and she wrote this paper.
Is she a Time Lord?
She's not a Time Lord, no. Good God.
Not all English people. In a telephone booth.
It's from 1963. No.
Who's her companion?
Does she have a robot dog?
No. No Daleks.
Her face changed 10 times?
No. It's the 11, actually. Was it 10?
We're on the 10th right now.
Yeah. No, none of that. None of that. But she did write this report objectively about game ratings, and she decided that a change was required and a dual system needed to be adopted for one rating versus the other, basically maintaining the status quo. But this didn't please a lot of people. But we'll come on to that later on in this fine show. But yes, it was released, and lots of people were very happy about it in the gaming industry, namely. They thought, yay, she was reasonable, and she gave the balance argument, and all the right-wing... And what's really interesting is the right-wing people and the media completely ignored it because it said things that they didn't agree with, so they just ignored it. Genius.
Dark Sakura, put the Dalek away, please. Thank you. She squeed at the Doctor Who reference. So we're moving on to May, and since I'm the only one that cares about Nintendo, I'll read the first one. In May, we actually both got the new Nintendo channel, which was Nintendo's way of pushing ads to us. And then WiiWare, which was it's their version of Xbox Live Arcade with a lot of independent games and stuff. And I had played some of the games because I was lucky enough that some listeners bought me some games for my birthday. So thank you, listeners. And they're basically like artsy games and stuff from the independent side. There are some like Nintendo games, like some Nintendo properties, but mainly it's a lot of, you know, independent games and stuff. And here's the problem is that you only get 512 megs of memory, and these games are like 100 megs, and so you can't keep them. Digital distribution, hooray!
Hooray!
So, since I don't have a Wii, if you delete one for another game, you don't have to repurchase it, do you?
You don't have to repurchase it, no.
Okay.
And you can actually move it to an SD card, and that way it goes off of your Wii, but you can't play it from the SD card. To play it again, you have to move it back to your Wii. They do say later that they are going to allow you to play games off of the SD card in a future update. But, I mean, that's also the same with virtual console games.
Aren't they changing that, though, that you can...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I just said. You'll be able to play them from the SD card in a future Wii channel update.
I don't know how they're going to get that to work because that's a hardware change in my view. But I'm sure we've had this conversation.
No,
because Homebrew can already do it.
Yeah.
They can access the SD card. It's a software thing to not allow you to run programs off the SD card.
It's a DRM nightmare, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you've already said that. So. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was really weird about this story. And in the UK, they kept on calling this Wii software for ages. They wouldn't call it WiiWare. It was going to be called Wii Software in Europe. No one knew why. But eventually they relented and said, okay, we'll just call it WiiWare, like everywhere else.
Yeah, and then the Nintendo channel was actually everybody's Nintendo channel in Japan. And it's basically where they just show you video ads, which is kind of nice because you couldn't actually see any of the... Since they don't do demos, they actually put like just raw gameplay footage of like 45 seconds or whatever on the Nintendo channel so you can actually see the Virtual Console game. Unfortunately, the people that they have doing these videos suck at the game and don't show you really the parts of the game. Like, I think the Phantasy Star one that they did showed him, like, sitting on a menu for 30 seconds of the 45 seconds. And then he walked over to another guy and initiated a conversation. And then I think it was, I can't remember what game it was, but it was an N64 game, one of the, it might have been Sin and Punishment. The guy sucked and died twice in the 45 seconds. And he didn't fire anything because he didn't know what button to press to fire. So he's like just flying around the screen and then he hits the button. He doesn't dive from a bullet. He crashes into the ground.
Oops. Nice. Lost Winds came out on this though.
Yes.
That was one of my games of the year. I loved that game.
Yeah, that was one of the two that I got.
World of Goo also came out as well, didn't it?
Yep.
So that was an excellent game.
So, Hendrix, you can read the next story, because you love them so much.
Yes, I was waiting for this. EA announces plans to use Securom for Spore and Mass Effect. It's for your own good, people. You're going to take it, and you're going to like it.
Three copies only.
Three copies.
Actually, this first one, in May, that was when they said that you had to authenticate online every 10 days.
Yes, that's right.
That was the original one.
That was astonishing, that was.
And then the group that actually changed their minds and said, you know, that's not a good idea, it was actually the U.S. military. Because they can't guarantee that they're going to have internet access. And they do play games on their downtime. They don't, like, sit out there waiting for something to happen 24 hours a day. They do have downtime and they play games and they can't guarantee a reliable internet connection to be able to authenticate every 10 days.
Well, you know, like I said, the Heart of Gold doesn't happen overnight, people.
So next year, EA will have the full Halo. That right now, the Halo's kind of sitting on top of the horns, and the horns are kind of retracting. Is that what you're saying?
We're working on it, all of us at EA, since I'm apparently on their payroll at this point.
I have to say, though, just to go back on the Spore thing, I think that was... a little bit of an overreaction, because do you really want to install Spore on three separate computers? I certainly didn't.
Well,
if Spore had lived up to the hype, people might have.
Well, I guess my thing was, it also, like, because if I sometimes I'll, instead of buying a new computer, I'll upgrade components of my computer at a time, and if you upgrade, like, the memory. Or if, like, I bought a bigger hard drive and I actually ghosted my old hard drive on the new hard drive, I had to reauthorize all my software because that was a different computer. So that would have been a second activation, even though all I did was replace my hard drive. And at the time, and I think they're coming, I think either it's out now or they're coming out really soon, where you can deauthorize other computers, like that's what iTunes can do. Once a year, you can deauthorize all the computers and start fresh. But you could not deauthorize a computer. So if I upgraded the hard drive and then reauthorized Spore, and then I upgraded, like, the motherboard, I'd have to reauthorize Spore again, and that's it. I can't install Spore. I can't play Spore again if I upgrade my computer again.
It's good for you. You like it. We're working on it.
Hate you guys.
They're not the only game that is riddled with DRM, though, is it? I mean, certainly not on the PC. I mean, what have you got? Fallout 3, that's riddled with it, really quite badly. Mass Effect, we've already mentioned. GTA 4, good lord, that riddled with it as well. Provided you don't get it on Steam, of course, which has its own DRM system.
Okay. So who wants to talk about the next game? Bloodshot, maybe?
Yeah, isn't it a lot? As always.
Penny Arcade Adventures set sales records on XBLA at $20.
Oh my god, somebody's selling a game downloadable for $20.
It's too expensive. Yeah.
It's too expensive. Then it breaks all the records.
It was extremely popular. I actually got it on the PC because I thought it was more of a PC game. I really like this game. I played through it and demolished it. And it was too easy, though. Way too easy. Not once did I ever get in real trouble with it. It just went straight through it really quick. I still haven't played the second episode. I still haven't got around to it.
Well, the second episode came out at the same time as all these other big games.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid. But they did fulfill their promise and releasing an episode every 4 months. And they've done that. So,
yep. But, I mean, everybody was like, oh, $20 is too expensive. It's horrible. It's horrible. Who would ever buy a downloadable game for $20? And I'm like, on the PS3, how much is Warhawk?
Yeah.
If you download it. And
how much was the expansion for the Oblivion?
And how much was Tekken on the PS? Like, was it Dark Resurrection? Was the 15. Downloadable title?
Well, it was 15 and then another 5 for the online
play. Yeah, so it was 20. And, you know, like on the PC, I downloaded Portal, and that, you know, Portal alone away from the Orange Box was 20. So I'm sitting here going, what's the problem with paying $20 for a downloadable title? Cause
I think it's because of XBLA. That's what it was all about. That's really the issue, you know. XBLA games don't go for $20. That was it. That was the issue.
Yeah.
But they learned, didn't they? They learned, and they dropped it for the second episode. So,
Krab, what happened in the UK this week? Or this
two
month?
Things. Mm-hmm. On the positive side, or indifferent side, Wii Fit arrived.
Yeah.
On a negative side, Rock Band appeared for £180. Mm-hmm. That, at the time, not now because of the pounds and the turd, was $360.
Yeah.
And that was just... They sold the game without the instruments without the game. You had to buy the game on top of it, mm-hmm. and that equaled £180. It was obscene, and it was only the Xbox 360 version as well. You couldn't actually buy any other version at the time. So it's profiteering on EA's still being evil.
We're working on it.
And also Haze arrived, which is something I love to smash on. And, of course, the developers of Haze now paid the ultimate price, mm-hmm. and they have now ceased to be.
Yep.
So, yeah. But I think the Rock Band thing was obscene. I wrote complaints and all sorts of things. I was so incensed by it. I actually got investigated. They got investigated, thanks to me. But they retracted it when in November, when Guitar Hero arrived.
Yeah.
It was pathetic. As soon as Guitar Hero arrived, they dropped the price. They did everything they could to make sure it competed with the Guitar Hero game, which is much cheaper. And also, insultingly, they released Rock Band 2 6 months after Rock Band 1 arrived.
Yeah, but see, okay, here's the double-edged sword on that. If they didn't, wouldn't you be upset that they hadn't released Rock Band 2 in
Europe?
We're
just upset anyway. You know, and they still haven't.
So they couldn't win.
Back to no, they couldn't win. They couldn't win. They what they've done everywhere, all the territories outside the US, because in Canada they've treated things pretty badly as well. They've been really atrocious with Rock Band, really bad, mm-hmm. really really awful. Whereas Guitar Hero and Activision, oh my God, I'm actually defending Activision here, did a great job. They've done a really good job of that,
and unfortunately,
they covered
Guitar
all
Hero
the bases and. Sorry?
Unfortunately, the game just sucks.
Yeah.
Compared to Rock Band.
Compared to Rock Band, it sucks. I understand that. But even still, at least they've done the right thing.
Yep. So moving on to June, who wants to talk positively about the first thing that we got down here in June?
Insert sounds of crickets.
Crickets, crickets. Okay, who wants to talk negatively about it?
Ooh, me.
Go for it.
PlayStation Core was announced and came out, and it was crappy.
Yep.
Because you paid for it, and then you got Burger King ads.
That you couldn't skip.
That you couldn't skip.
They were just there.
And I never bought another one.
I did download the free one afterwards.
I did too, and I didn't... Yeah,
it was worse.
I watched like one thing in it, and I deleted it.
To me, it was worse. Like, the first episode was better than this December one. To me. Like, I mean, we on the very low scale. You know, like, you know, one of them was like negative 8,999, the other one was negative 9,000, something like that.
This never arrived in Europe, by the way, because we still have a PlayStation Magazine official paper one. So they never, Core just doesn't exist in our part of the world. What was really quite interesting is I remember there was a podcast just now gone called Game Theory, and one of them was a producer for this, one of the hosts was a producer for this very thing, and they were going, oh, it's great, it's going to look wonderful, it's terrible, and they got slammed for it.
And they were using a lot of the same interviews that you could find, like even in the first episode, people were like, this is actually from, I could found this on YouTube before, you know, you're not showing me anything new here, it's just in high def, which meant that it was a 1.4 gig download, because it's a bunch of high def video. And then there were like the stupid games, like if you like held down L2 and R2, it became this game where you were just like hitting the X button a lot and dying. And right. That was like it. And then like episode one was like, you're going to get into the SOCOM beta because everybody's going to be able to play in the SOCOM beta. Right. But you couldn't even download it from within Core. They had to send you a code separately.
Oh, wait. Prowler's whining because we're ripping on Core. You know what? We wouldn't rip on Core if it didn't suck.
And we're basically bringing it up because that was one of the things that happened in June, was that Sony released PlayStation Core. And so we're going to talk about it and give our opinions on it.
Yep.
So who wants to read the next one so we can rip on 360?
Exactly.
Well, seeing as Bloodshot 360 died recently, I think we'd give it to him.
Yeah.
360 avatars leaked along with the size of Forza 3.
So basically this one was, there was like a poll, like a study or something that went on, that and somebody actually leaked all the screenshots from this online poll, and one of them was, what do you think of this idea? And it would talked about avatars for the Xbox 360, and everybody's like, no, Microsoft's not going to do that. That's a rumor. That's an ugly internet rumor. Oh, how wrong we were. But also one of the things was, I think, what, Forza 3 was going to come on two discs, Hendrix?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a multi-disc game, which everybody... The other thing was that everybody was expecting them to announce Forza 3 sometime during 2008, and they never did. So, Who knows? That might be the one game, because there was also the rumor that one of their soon-to-be-announced titles was going to be for the next-gen system. So that might indeed be what's going on with Forza 3.
Yeah. Forza 2 was great.
Fantastic game.
But, we first got our inkling of 360 avatars at this one, and everybody was like, oh no, Microsoft's going to become Nintendo. Yeah. And then everybody was like, I want to be able to shoot my avatar in Gears of War. So,
the avatar thing with the NXE, I mean, I still really don't care about it. I didn't care when they announced it, so whatever.
So here on the Nintendo side, the first round of Nintendo versus hackers, the first salvo was lobbied. They couldn't fix Twilight Princess because, unlike on the other systems, Nintendo still believes that when a game ships, it's done, and you can't patch it. So they can't patch Twilight Princess to get rid of the hack that basically it's a buffer overflow with the name of the horse. And so you have this save file where you go talk to the horse and then it can execute its own code. What they did is that they changed the channel to remove that file. And so the hackers changed the file and allowed it to be put back like a couple hours later. So the first salvo has been lobbied. And actually, it's kind of interesting to hear and go back and forth. The hackers apparently have like a list of like 30 holes in the Wii. And every time Nintendo closes up one, they go down the list and they're like, okay, which one are we going to do this time? Okay, we're going to do this one. And then they put that in, and then Nintendo plugs that up, and they're like, okay, let's see, what's this one? We'll use this one. And Nintendo may not know all of the holes that they do, because they say that there's all these holes that are still open, and they just haven't used them yet. So it's been kind of interesting to watch the back and forth with that, for people using their Wii for actual things rather than Wii Sports.
And collecting dust.
So now, still some good games on the Wii. Leave it alone. Carry on.
So who wants to talk about the lawsuit? Crop?
Well, I can't really. I mean, okay. I'll be objective really, because looking at something that I was bemused by, I'll read it out anyway. Lawyer surprised: not many people took part in the hot coffee lawsuit. This is related to San Andreas, isn't it?
Yeah, basically what happened is...
It was, three, 4 years ago?
Yeah, and they settled, and the time, and I guess during this year, if you were offended, you could apply for whatever the settlement was, and, like, next to nobody... Like, the game sold, like, millions and millions and millions of copies, but it was, like, in the low thousands of how many people actually claimed to be offended and take part in this settlement. Which meant the lawyers got a hell of a lot of money out of it. But they were shocked that not more people took part in the settlement because they thought more people were offended than actually were.
Well, it's difficult to be offended when you can't actually see the thing that's supposed to offend you.
Yep. Oh, but it was worth them suing.
Yeah.
This just proves that lawyers are really that stupid.
Mm-hmm. Or smart. They made the money.
I wouldn't call it smart, I'd call it evil.
So, who wants to talk about the PC gaming world imploding with joy?
Well, Krop should, since he's Mr. Yeah. I have an $8 gajillion PC.
Yeah, Diablo 3.
It was announced! Yay!
They're in like France, of all places.
Yeah.
And, yes, so I thought I'd do it, Hendrix. Wow. I mean, what I saw, it was more than
now. Wow, it's Diablo 3! Jesus!
No, it's wow! Did you not see the graphic style?
It was more than just announced. It was shown off. They had 20 minutes gameplay footage, replete with rainbows and unicorns. And they had a demonstration video of a developer talking over it, sort of a commentary. I think that's what they call talking over something.
Yes.
Well, it really is 1 a.m. for me, isn't it? and... wow, I was really, really impressed with what I saw. I'm really looking forward to the game whenever it arrives. It's probably sometime in 2014.
Yeah, and this was also tie in to a lot of the hardcore Diablo 3 fanboys claiming that Blizzard doesn't know what they actually want. And there's too many colors in the game.
Because and the rendering and the lighting doesn't work either.
Yeah, it needs to be more emo.
Yeah.
It
didn't have the floppy hair.
Yeah, and it looked like too much like WoW. They were Warcrafting up Diablo. And so they made all these mock screenshots of it, and the art director, before he quit, which he did, actually, but he quit. He actually went in with, I think it was MTV Multiplayer Blog, which you UK people love because they block all their videos to you, so you can't see them. But they the guy went through, and he went on every screenshot and said, okay, here's, you know, it's good, but here's why it wouldn't work with the gameplay, and blah blah blah, and he explained exactly why each screenshot wouldn't work, which then the fanboys all bitched, whined, and complained and said, okay, we're going to animate it now. And so they went in and did video editing and said, see, it'll still work in the video. And then, you know, then the art director quit, and everybody's like, yay, they fired the guy. But the best T-shirt ever came out of that whole controversy. And I don't know if you saw. I think it was at the BlizzCon in California.
In October, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was the best T-shirt ever. It was Diablo 3 in pastel colors and unicorns and rainbows and everything. I want that shirt.
Yeah.
That wasn't well received by a lot of people. They thought that was too much. You know, that was... could be regarded as, yes, we understand that's a jibe at people who really did care about this franchise, but some people thought it was a little bit too close to the bone. Yeah. And I can see their point. But anyway. Not I'm defending their decision. It sounds like I am, but...
Oh, you're defending
why. I can see why, but whatever.
This is the month in June. Microsoft launched the Content License Restoration Tool, which means that Hendrix can now play Uno.
Yep. Yep. And I actually had to use that to fix Puzzle Quest on mine.
That was Puzzle Quest is the one you couldn't play.
Yep.
Basically, when you buy DRM'd content on Xbox Live, it's tied to the console that you originally played on and your gamertag. And sometimes it doesn't exactly work even with the gamertag. And with the gamertag, that means you have to be online. So if you upgraded to an Elite when they came out trying to support Microsoft, hey, it's a new black box with a larger hard drive, you couldn't play any of the arcade games you already bought unless you were online. So if Xbox Live was down or your internet went down in the middle of a game, you got booted back out to the title screen or you couldn't play at all. So now they've got this DRM tool which will consolidate everything onto one 360, and then you have to delete everything off of that 360 and re-download it again. Awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And you can only use it once a year.
Right. But they will use it automatically for you if you have a repair through them. They will use it and it will not count through against your once a year.
Right.
Awesome. What happened in the UK, Krop?
Well, following the Byron report, EA and Microsoft yelled about this conclusion, saying that to have two separate rating systems is folly, and there should only be one, i.e. the PEGI one. Mm-hmm. That way, it makes life a lot easier for publishers to actually get games released. And they also threatened, they've actually threatened to say that because of if this new system is adopted, this new dual system is adopted, which is no different to what we've got at the moment, really, then it will actually prevent games from being released in a timely manner in the UK because it increases the expense of getting them rated and what have you. So that could pretend, that was the big news in the UK, and that the rating system that promoted by the Byron Report wasn't well received by the publishing fraternity. There it is.
It is June. I want to check in. I think we still have. Well, I think there's another travesty in this month. Hendrix, do you want to go into what the travesty of the month of June is?
Two Worlds still available on store shelves.
Damn it!
Damn it!
There is no justice in the world.
There is no. There is no justice.
I'm shaking virtual fist now. Really am. Right.
We need to get some dialogue from that game for drops in the show, but we'd have to actually play it to do that. So
yeah. Don't trust me. You don't want to do that.
But it's so hilarious.
Isn't it just Oblivion?
Right. It's Oblivion with a whole lot of suck painted on top of it.
You know, they're making an expansion.
Yes, we are well aware of this fact.
Are you guys going to review the expansion?
I can give you my review right now if you want.
Game of the year.
Family show. It's a family show. It's got a clean.
Two worlds expansion in the toilet.
Very good. Quick programming note, because we're kind of at the halfway here. Quick programming note, Orange Silence Radio, since I am station manager here at All Games Radio, I can be evil. And they are starting 30 minutes late. So Orange Sounds Radio will be starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, because I am mean and I haven't gotten to bump them before. So, yeah.
Suckers!
July. Who doesn't have their PS3 right now? Or does everybody has their PS3. So who wants to read the PS3 story for July?
Bloodshot.
I'll do it because I actually got it. This firmware. PS3 firmware 2.4 with in-game XMB and trophies launched, then pulled, then relaunched. And I did get the firmware when it first came out. I had to leave for work early that morning, and I got it before it was pulled, and I didn't have any problems.
Yeah, I didn't either, because I got it that morning before they pulled it. But and it was kind of funny, you know, hearing the Sony fanboys being like, oh, it's not broken. Then why did they pull it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a problem. There's no problem. And then, like, Sony's PlayStation blog says, we have fixed the problem.
What problem?
And there's still,
there's
like,
nothing to see.
There's no problem. It didn't affect everybody, therefore it's not a problem. I love you, Womfox.
Nothing to see. Move along.
I love you, Womfox. Not really. But this was the update everybody wanted. In-game XMB, so you could send text messages to your friends. You know, and they added trophies, so now you can, you know, show how big your EPEN 15 is.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can send text messages to your friends.
Mm-hmm. Still no invites, though.
Yeah, and the fact that it's really clunky to send them at this point still, as evidenced by us using our cell phones to message each other during PS3 gaming sessions.
But it has that 6-person video chat.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yep.
And you can show your pictures.
Yep. You can show your pictures with some music.
That was fun once.
Wieners.
So Kropotkin, this is your favorite device ever.
Well, yeah. The iPhone, the iPod Touch App Store launches. I've actually got iPod Touch.
With all the flashlights and tip calculators you could ever need.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I found it amazing that this rumbled on. This is definitely a regional thing. Because Nokia had the N98, sorry, the N95.
Oh, and it's the best thing ever!
Oh, N-Gage!
iPods are crappy!
N-Gage. N-Gage.
And N-Gage, yeah. Which is still a fine platform, there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, Metal Gear Solid arrived on N-Gage this month, but no one knows. No one cares. It's a perfectly fine game, there's nothing wrong with it, but no one knows, no one cares. The N96 is a better phone than the iPhone, everyone knows this, but...
No, they don't. Only you know this, Mr. iPod, iPhone hypocrite.
I can't go down and get an N96, therefore it doesn't exist.
Exactly. However, I do know, I've always said this, that the iPhone, the iPod, has a very, 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 very nice interface. And it is very good for that. But as a phone and stuff, it really kind of sucks. And the camera's terrible. Terrible! Terrible! So functionality-wise, it's terrible. But yeah, this is important. Going back to the story, Apple's the application store launched. And this is, to say this has been a success is an absolute understatement.
Yeah.
Because it's done fantastically well. Yes, there's lots of satirical messages coming up on chat about flashlights, tip calculators, Sudoku, and what else? The lightsaber, the beer drinking one, all of that rubbish. And indeed, all of those things I've just listed out also on the Nokia machines as well, because their smartphones are slightly iPhone. But again, no one talks about it. No, you can get the lightsaber for the Nokia machine. The difference being, it's free.
Well, the thing about the lightsaber that was interesting was that they had the lightsaber app, and it was actually a homebrew app before the App Store, and then they put it in the App Store. And then Lucas kind of did the cease and desist, and they're like, man, it was harmless and stuff. So then they hired the guys and turned it into the Force Unleashed ad. So you can get the lightsaber now, but now it's an ad for the Force Unleashed.
Oh, that's disgusting. Anyway, well, it's still free on the Nokia machine.
It's still free, Symbian. Too. It's still free. It's just, and to be honest, the developers that did Phone Saber, it was really, they actually said, okay, you know, we're doing this, it's an ad, but the ad goes away after the first five times you open it up, because the ad just shows the first five times, and it's like shows how for many, like 5 seconds.
How many people ever used that more than five times anyway?
No, well, I did just to clear the ad, but it was just me opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing.
But there have been some bizarre applications. I think there's the Ocarina.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. I think there's also a Gal Civ game, which is meant to be quite good. And there are some good games on there now.
Now
I understand.
I will give you my two choices for some of my top favorite free games. One of them is called Tap Tap Revenge. And it's kind of like Guitar Hero, but you're tapping the screen, and it actually has a lot of tracks in it that you can get for free. That's free. And then Aurora Faint is a puzzle game. It's kind of like Tetris Attack, if you remember
right.
that, or Pokemon Puzzle League, if you were an N64 kid. It's kind of like that, but it actually uses the accelerometer, so you can actually tilt it and then switch them the other way, because you can only go side to side, but if you tilt it, then you can go kind of up, down, and stuff. And there's like a little RPG element where you're buying things, buying scrolls. You're actually mining for minerals when you're doing the puzzle thing.
There's another game that gets lots of publicity. Trism, isn't it? That's one that gets lots of publicity. It's meant to be quite good. I don't know if it's really good. It's a puzzle game that you use. You can rotate your iPod or your iPhone, and it's sort of, it's a bit like Bejeweled again, but it uses gravity to slide stuff around. I don't know if it's any good or not, but I heard it's quite good.
VXSNXV in chat says that he's used lightsaber 7 times legitimately, and that it's good for a few hours.
Is there actually a legitimate use for it?
And it's always
used.
It's always here's the thing. It's always at nerd conventions, and it's two people with iPhones where they have the sound, like my iPod Touch, and they will do lightsaber duels with their iPhone. I have seen this phenomenon many times.
And you had tried to have a lightsaber duel, but you didn't have a speaker on your iPod Touch.
Yeah.
So you just instantly lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a lightsaber on my phone. Oh, we did do it briefly. I do remember.
My silence is because I'm just shaking my head at all of this.
So let's sue somebody. Who wants to sue somebody?
Oh, I'll do it. Konami sues the music game makers because they made stuff first.
Yes, and actually I think they sued everybody but Activision.
Yeah.
Because Activision actually licenses the patents from Konami. Or actually Red Octane did. So when Guitar Hero originally came out, they had it. But then when Red Octane got eaten by the Activision monolith, Activision now pays them, and MTV doesn't. And so now they're suing. And that's why we get the piece of crap called Rock Revolution. It's so they can show the patent court that, hey, see? They're impacting our sales.
Yeah, not the fact that they made a crappy game.
And I mean, the games that came out in Japan that they made first in the, you know, in the 90s, they were good. And it's just Guitar Hero made it took that concept and made it better.
Yep.
And Konami's probably kicking themselves because every time they tried to release a music game in America, they put all of the J-pop and the J-rock, which Bemani fanboys love, though other 98% of the American population doesn't. And so when
I think you're being a bit generous there.
And well, okay. And then
99.999.
Well, I was trying to because we have a lot of Bemani fans. I'm trying to throw them a bone because we're knocking their show back 30 minutes. I'm trying to be nice to them. I don't want them cutting me off in the middle of September.
I could be curmudgeon-y. It's 1:30 in the morning. Carry on.
So anyway, they're suing everybody in existence, and I haven't heard how this one's going, but this is going to take a while. So E3 occurred in July.
It did.
It did. The last of the new E3, which we'll talk about in a little bit. E3, it was not everybody was kind of disappointed with E3. I thought it was laid out great. I was able to get so much done in terms of being a journalist and stuff. But apparently that's not what counts, and that's not what matters.
Nope.
And stuff, as I was told, actually, on my show by a first-time caller. He told me that E3 is not about me getting my work done. E3 is about him getting information from IGN and GameSpot.
Right.
Well, he's right, isn't he?
You take away my GDC. Okay, Krob, you take away my GDC. I can't go to GDC anymore.
You can't. No. That's
and,
a big
and now you don't want me to go to E3.
I didn't say that.
Well, you said that it wasn't about me getting things done at E3.
I know.
Next, you're going to tell me I shouldn't go to PAX. And now I'm going to be staying home.
Yeah.
The only reason you shouldn't go to PAX is if you're a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah, definitely.
Just saying.
You have to apologize to your liver before going to PAX. It's the only way to survive PAX. Mm-hmm. Inebriated.
Anyways, we're off topic.
Inalogic knows about that.
So,
anyway,
yeah, but E3, E3 occurred. And it looked like a empty plumber's convention. That's what somebody said.
That's what, the CEO of Ubisoft said that.
Yeah. And then that was also where Capcom had that great press conference, which I still thank them for, that I stood in line, and it was delayed 30 minutes, just like this show was tonight. And they brought us in there, and then it was a big Comic-Con-style roundtable discussion about the movie based on Lost Planet. And we're all like saying, oh, show us like, you know, Street Fighter 4 or something, you know, show us something about the new Bionic Commando. I'm like, okay, that's the movie, see ya. And we're like, wait a minute, we're at a gaming convention and you just sat there with this dude. And actually, it's kind of funny, I was sitting there with Lawrence Young and I'm like, I don't care who this guy is, you know, he's boring me, you know, we have to listen to this jackass. And Lawrence is like, dude, you just called Avi Arad a jackass. I'm like, I don't know who that is. And apparently, like, he's, like, the man when it comes to, like, I think Marvel or something like that. See, I still don't even know who he is.
Nice comic stuff.
Yeah.
Meh.
And he's up there, and, like, Lawrence is like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm sitting this close to Avi Arad. And I'm like, who cares? Did he make a video game?
Well, bit as it may, I thought, really, the one thing that stuck in my mind was the train wreck that was the Konami press thing.
Yes.
For their, that was quite funny.
Yes, where they failed their own song because they didn't calibrate the lag.
And didn't she cry?
I saw her off to the side. She was in tears.
There you go.
Which is why I can't make fun of her that much, because I saw that and I'm too much of a human.
I know, but
you guys didn't see that, so you can make fun of her all you want. So go for it.
You suck, lady.
Oh, dear.
But I had fun at E3.
Yes. And, but it's all different now.
Well, we'll be getting into that. So now here's who wants to talk about this one, this next one.
I think Bloodshot could do a fantastic job.
Yes.
I could do a fantastic job? Okay.
Yeah.
Activision Vivendi deal finalized. Activision Blizzard appears.
And it eats everyone.
Yes. It appears
that?
With clouds of black smoke rolling up behind it.
Lightning striking down the ground.
Yes.
And sacrificing small babies.
Yes.
To make their games.
And murdering puppies on a daily basis.
Here's the funny thing. Vivendi bought Activision. but they're using Activision's name and Activision's CEO.
Yep.
So Bobby Kotick, he is a master with words. And I don't know exactly when he said this wonderful quote, which I know you guys know the one I'm talking about with the E word. So why don't we just go ahead and go over the quote, because I don't remember which month he said it. It was after July, but what was this wonderful quote?
Something about they couldn't adopt, or the reason he was talking about why they let go of certain franchises from
Ghostbusters, Brutal Legend, Riddick, 50 Cent.
Riddick. Yeah. 50 Cent, and a selection of others. So I can't remember all of them, but they were the key ones that people were shocked about. And he said the ones they kept was the most interesting.
Yeah, Spyro.
Spyro, and what was the other one they kept? It was some other god-awful franchise.
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. Crash Bandicoot, there you go. So they kept those because they could exploit them.
And use that word.
He didn't, you know, he didn't hedge around it. He didn't sort of massage it in any way. The word he used was exploit on an annual basis. I'm paraphrasing.
Yes.
There's not you, Bobby. I'm talking about the head honcho, Bobby.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a certain point in your life where you need to learn to know when to shut your mouth.
And that was then.
That was one of them.
There was another wonderful quote with regards to the music games, which I actually like. This is one of the few times I actually got a sound effect and played it on my show, and it was him saying this. He was at some high-end like investor conference or something on stage with the tech writer for the Wall Street Journal was interviewing him, and they were showing off their new game, Guitar Hero World Tour. And he was like, you know, and now we're going to show off this game, and this is the first time in a game that you're going to be able to play with guitars, drums, and singing. And the reporter just dead-faced looks at him. He's like, it's called Rock Band, I think. And he just stops, and he's like, well, we're calling it Guitar Hero World Tour. But he actually said, this is the first time that you will be able to do this. And she's like, isn't that Rock Band?
Way to go, Dopey.
And then they've got random people up on the stage. One of those random people just happened to be Tony Hawk to demonstrate the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hello, ActiBlizzard.
You're evil. Everyone hates you.
Except you guys still bought Call of Duty.
Yeah, I know. My hypocrisy knows no limit.
Actually, no, I'm Mr. Hypocrite Man here. Thank you very much.
So, what happened in Europe, Crop?
PlayStation 3 games, £20 games were released in Europe. The Platinum series, which I'm not sure what they're
a
bestseller. I think you have something similar, but they're not called Platinum, are they? They're called something else. But no, they come in silver boxes, and they're called Platinum games. So you can buy cheaper versions of PS3 games in Europe this week, this month.
And I think it's funny, here in the US, the Platinum hits or whatever, the box actually has the brown top, which is the same color as HD DVD movies were. And so it's
I haven't actually seen them.
Yeah, they actually look like HD DVD covers.
Nice.
Yeah, it's but no, in Europe they're silver, and as they were for the PS2 and for the PS1, they always were silver boxes.
So in August, this is this may benefit you eventually, Kropotkin. A local company here in Atlanta, GameTap, which is a PC service where you pay a subscription fee and you can play any of the 800 games on their service. They also have free games on GameTap.com, and they have a lot of ROMs from the Atari and the Commodore 64 and all that stuff. They were owned by Turner.
Miserable bastards.
They were owned by Turner, but Turner Time Warner was trying to lighten the load, and they have announced that they were going to be selling, and nobody knew who, and it was eventually revealed to be a French company who did the exact same thing called Metaboli. So that way that the same service will be in the US and in Europe, and I don't know if that extends to the UK or not.
Yes, it does. Yeah. They have close ties with Eurogamer.
Okay.
That's how I know about Metaboli. So yes.
So and basically what it was is that GameTap actually has a client, like an actual physical like gaming client, and then Metaboli had like a better library and stuff, so they're kind of merging that. So the GameTap client will be used over in Europe, but they're keeping the names. And from what I understand is that actually GameTap will still be headquartered in Atlanta, and actually Turner still owns an interest in it. So they didn't give it up entirely, they just sold most of it.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, but this so, is... This is so, you know, now you can stop complaining to us about us having GameTap.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you can get Amstrad games, right?
So, yeah. So, this actually happened in Europe.
Steady.
This actually happened in Europe, so, Krop, why don't you read this next one?
Games Convention 2008 PAX Invaders exhibit. Oh, yeah.
Space Invaders!
Jerky!
Sorry. Space Invaders exhibit. This is the bizarre thing. I'm getting rushing ahead. And it is 2 a.m. now. Okay. So give me some slack.
Orange Lounge Radio is coming on in 45 minutes whenever I feel like stopping. Yeah.
Games Convention 2008 Space Invaders exhibit. There was a Space Invaders exhibit, wasn't there? That was a bit controversial.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
And it was,
and
it was
take it down.
It had like the World Trade Center, and you were trying to defend the World Trade Center.
That's right.
And it was a big, huge installation made by a dude who lived in France.
Indeed.
And everybody in America got upset over this.
Damn,
they didn't.
An art installation in Germany made by somebody who lived in France. Now, granted, he was an American citizen, but he lived in France, and all the Americans got upset.
This isn't the first time that people from your part of the world have got upset over something that happens in a country that's nowhere near them.
Yeah.
I think this happened before with an advert in Holland.
For the PSP?
For the PSP.
The black and
white. We had a black and white woman, woman painted white was subjugating a woman that was painted black, and that was considered to be racist and offensive to people in California.
Yes, because they didn't want this around their community, and I didn't realize that their community was in Holland as well.
Yes. Interesting. So, not wanting to annoy anyone, least of all in Germany, they took it down.
Yep.
So, way to go, censorship. Yay.
So, and then PAX.
Well,
we can't do August without PAX.
Which,
also known as the greatest trip I've ever taken in my life.
We, Hendrix and I, prepared this for a long time, about this. We booked our hotel many, 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 many months before. We'll be doing it again in February, no doubt, this year. And, we really, really had a terrific time. Although,
yes,
I have to say that next time we'll be doing things slightly differently. I'll be seeing different things, seeing more panels, I suspect.
Whatever. We had all sorts of plans when we went into PAX. The PAX this time, too, and that all blew out the window the first night.
It did, actually.
You did show up that first night.
Once we found the bars, we knew what we were doing.
Yeah. And we must organize the All Games thing a little bit better this year.
Well, I'm thinking that actually Scott's going to get involved with it because E for All isn't going to be happening. So I think he's going to be... We're going to get to that, too. I think he's going to be doing the PAX stuff this year. So...
Ooh.
He'll be coordinating that this next year, so I won't have to worry about coordinating it, and I can actually,
you know what,
see more of PAX.
The All Games meetup was fine; it was just in two separate spots.
It was in
just
two
happened
separate
to be the spot that was at the Elephant in the Castle was the cool spot.
It was very cold.
The very cold.
Very
spot.
Cool spot.
Actually, I was there for that night.
I know. That's what I mean.
You were there.
Where basically, for people who don't know, and probably you don't because you weren't there, they put us outside. It was cold. I mean, it's Seattle in August, and it was cold that night, and they're like, okay, we'll wait out there for a table, and then they forgot that we were out there.
So we sat out there for about an hour.
And then we were like, so what about our table? They're like, oh, you're still here?
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then I introduced Kropotkin.
It was a fairly large group of us, too.
And then I introduced Kropotkin to fried mac and cheese balls.
Oh, yes, you.
We practically
and
had to force him to eat.
And actually, the waitress and the manager actually laughed the next day when we arrived, all hungover. Mm-hmm. And he said, we have some more macaroni and cheese for you, sir. Really?
But PAX is, and this is what I tell people, and Krop, you may, since you've been to E3, the old E3s, you might be able to corroborate this. PAX is what people always thought E3 was.
That's right.
It was.
But it never was.
It was exactly what people thought E3 was, because E3 wasn't what people thought it was, but PAX is exactly what they thought E3 was. And that's why when people are like, I want to go to E3, I'm like, no, you'd actually be better off at PAX, and you'd enjoy PAX more.
Absolutely. If you haven't been to PAX, and you have even a vague interest in video games, you have to go at least once.
Yeah.
At least once. Mm-hmm. Because it's a sight to see.
Yeah. And really, it's going to be on Labor Day weekend again.
Indeed.
Yeah. It used to be the last weekend in August, which just happened to be Labor Day weekend here in the U.S. And then now they have actually officially made it Labor Day weekend, which means I am unfortunately never attending Dragon Con again. Which is kind of sad for me because that's local, it's cheaper, and I speak on a panel at Dragon Con, so now I've got to pull out of the panel and never go back.
So you have decided that you're going to PAX.
Yes, I have decided PAX is more important.
I am happy to hear that.
Yeah. We are very happy to hear that.
Even though there's more drinking at Dragon Con. But it's not much drinking with good people.
Oh, we'll change that this year, my friend.
That sounds like a challenge.
If you had been with us last year the entire weekend, there would have been more drinking than Dragon Con.
I had to produce a show.
There'll be none of that this time.
Much as we could talk about PAX all evening, which is I love to.
Let's move on to September. Let's move on to September.
Well, at least the European story.
We did, the Games Convention.
We didn't.
That was European.
It was
Germany. Can't I say Chrono Trigger's coming out of Europe?
Well, it came out in the U.S. already.
I know, shut
up. Chrono Trigger DS is coming out in Europe sometime.
And four people can move on.
February.
It's a good game. So in September, do you have Comcast, Hendrix?
Yes, I do. I'll do it.
Yes.
In September, the evil lords of the Sith that are known as Comcast announced a 250 gigabyte a month limit for all of its internet users,
which is upstream and downstream.
Yep.
Which means that why aren't more digital distribution people upset at this?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Because, like, if you watch a lot of movies on this new Netflix service that we have here in the U.S., that's really awesome. Netflix streaming video.
On your 360.
On your 360.
Movies.
How you doing, Crop?
I'm not listening. Well, we're getting on film anyway, so I don't care.
Netflix is awesome.
Yeah, I have a little mini game on the 360. It's called sending abusive messages to people watching Netflix on 360.
I haven't gotten one of these.
I know. I'm just skirting around it. I'm just trying to build up to the point where an abusive message will be sent to you eventually. Trust me.
But I mean, they're trying to catch torrenters who have both massive downstream and upstream. But especially if you're going to do downloadable games and stuff, that's 2 gigs a pop, and you can get pretty close to that. And a lot of people will think that they're getting close to it when they're really not.
Yep.
And so people aren't going to use digital distribution as much because they're going to worry about this cap limit. And that's kind of why I'm wondering, why Microsoft and Netflix and like Steam, Valve aren't trying to get this removed, because people are less likely to use their system, even though they're not going to go close to the limit they're going to think they are. And they're going to be worried about that. So this is going to be something that's a challenge for digital distribution, and why we might still see consoles with actual discs.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been the biggest thing so far, is that, and I know they've talked about they're changing it, but is the fact that you have no way of gauging how much of your bandwidth you've used. And they've recently said that they're going to have some sort of thing available where you can see how much of that 250 gigabytes you've used per month.
Mm-hmm. There are certain routers that measure it for you.
Yeah.
But, and I can't confirm this, but I'm pretty sure that AT&T has also put a limit on their users, but it wasn't quite as widely talked about.
Because Comcast is the one that makes the news. And I think what Comcast said is that this has always been, like, they have always had this policy that if you used a whole lot of bandwidth, that they did this to you. But everybody was like, that's not fair. We don't know. We don't know what your limit is and stuff. And they're like, okay, fine, we're going to tell you, 250 gigs. And now we're all like, oh, there's 250 gig limit and stuff. They're like, we've already had this, always had a limit, but we eyeballed it before. Yep. And now you want it, and, the masses, the / masses wanted an actual number. So they're like, okay, fine, 250.
I think the AT&T one is actually even lower than that. And I'm not sure, but I have AT&T, and I think they may be throttling me.
Yeah, considering how the games we were playing the other night were working.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
So, a lot of games, September started kind of the deluge of, like, games coming out. Rock Band 2 came out here in the U.S., which also ties into the European story, I believe, with the price drop, right, Crop?
Yeah, Rock Band was dropped in price, mm-hmm. mainly because the impending release of...
Rock Band 2 and Guitar Hero.
And also, but it was... sort of Guitar Hero, but there's also the fact that the other versions of the game arrived at this point. You know, PlayStation 3, Wii, PS2 appeared at this point as well.
Yeah.
This one is Play TV.
Yeah, now what is Play TV? That was for the PS3.
It was. I did a video for this for 1UP. Okay. Self-plug there. This is a device that turns your PlayStation 3 into a digital TV recorder.
Ah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So you can just look for...
Which we're never getting in America.
Ever.
Said that they, I thought Ever. They said that they're considering bringing it out here at some point.
The problem is the infrastructure here in the U.S. doesn't lend itself. That's why, like, the Nintendo TV channel service that's going to be out in Japan isn't coming to America. Because I guess, like, there's, like, only, like, there's one infrastructure in Japan, and I'm assuming kind of in U.K. there's also kind of, like, one infrastructure.
Yes.
And in the U.S., every cable operator has their own infrastructure.
Right, right.
So
well, this isn't cable though. This is from RF aerial. Mm-hmm. So you just plug your TV aerial in. Any regular TV aerial.
Okay.
Plug it into the PlayStation 3 thing, little dongle, yeah. little box about the size mm-hmm. of your hand, and then you can get digital television from the air. It's not cable. It's not satellite. It's just RF. Now, for some reason in the US, you don't have that generally.
Well, yeah. Unless you're Doomplague, yeah, you don't have a TV aerial anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. Bloodshot, you like meaningless things on the PS3. Something else came out in September.
Life with PlayStation.
The new version of the folding at home client, which I'm never going to use ever again.
And you can check the weather. Kind of. Maybe. So, not really, though.
I haven't looked at this in so long.
It hasn't changed.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they haven't updated it at all.
And it's funny because they use Google News for, like, the news stories, and what they do is that they put the city name in the search bar, so the top five stories actually aren't from that city. They're just the top five stories that used that city's name in it somehow.
Oh, my God, it's free. Stop ripping on it.
But the cloud thing is cool, the real-time cloud data.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I turn it on when I'm charging my controller and look at it for 5 minutes before I turn the TV off.
Yeah. And I people were, like, looking at the hurricanes with it and stuff. So, I mean, that was kind of cool. It gets dark on that globe before it actually gets dark where I am. And you can only see the clouds and the light, obviously. So
yeah, I wish they would change that so you could see the clouds when your area is in the dark. But they don't care.
So, Capcom game, Mega Man 9, with all of its 8-bit glory and hardness and difficultiness came out. Did you guys, any of you guys buy this?
No.
Could anybody beat the demo? That friggin'
no.
second elephant?
Oh, that elephant. Curse that elephant.
I hit that elephant. That, like, blew you closer and then threw its balls at you?
I didn't...
Wait, what are we talking about?
I didn't get that far in the demo before I went, yeah, this is too much for me, I'm deleting it.
I made it to the second elephant.
I didn't even bother. I didn't even look at this game because I knew it was really hard. I'm very bad at games, so what's the point?
Yeah,
what is the point?
That's why I didn't buy it. And everybody was like, why didn't you buy it? I'm like, because I got as far as I'm ever going to get in the game, in the demo. At least they let you play the demo, unlike Capcom's later game, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Turbo Remixed Anniversary Edition to the Third Power.
Hope you enjoy looking at your one character, because unless you got two people ready to play it, so much for that demo.
Yep. And now, granted, what people were telling me is that the demo, they just picked the top left robot, and it's actually not the it's one of the last stages you actually want to do if you follow the order and stuff. So why didn't they give me the first stage that maybe if I had beaten it, I could have said, hey, maybe I could beat this game, and then I buy it, and then I realize, no, it's hard, I can't beat it. But no, they put a hard level in there, I guess, to say, hey, we're not kidding. This thing's hard. And,
yeah, well,
and so
you know,
I saved,
were,
I saved my 10 bucks.
Being honest with people.
Yeah, and I didn't give them 10 bucks, so it's all good.
Yeah.
So for your honesty, no money for you.
Yeah.
So that now a beta launched. Who wants to talk about the beta first?
Bloodshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your game.
Was my game. Little Big Planet beta.
Woohoo!
I actually didn't get into the beta until really late into its life, but I was really, really hyped for this game, and there was some pretty obvious foreshadowing as to how the servers would work in the beta,
yeah.
And it turns out that was true.
Right. But we got to be offended, which we're going to get to in the next month, but... No, the beta, everybody really wanted to get into the beta. It was the big hot ticket. You know, people were giving away, you know, like USA Today, newspaper here, was giving away like 1,000 codes. Like UK websites were giving away 1 million codes, it seemed.
Yeah.
Like, UK got all the codes. Yeah, Eurogamer got like most of the codes. Because it's a European, I mean, Media Molecule is based in the UK, right?
They're in Guildford, yeah.
Okay, so that's why. It's the hometown love. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. I made a level about the quest for the beta code, where the beta code runs away from you.
We followed your Twitter. It was most amusing.
Yes. So,
just saying.
the beta came out, and then the game was supposed to come out later, which we're going to get into. However, we can't leave September alone. I have to check is there a travesty that occurred in September, Hendrix?
Checking. World is still available on store shelves!
No justice!
Oh, God!
Two worlds still out.
They didn't recall it yet.
What's wrong? In fact, I think, I'm just checking my records here, I think they released a special gold edition on that month, so... Whoa.
Because it was a platinum seller, it was a million seller, wasn't it?
Their special edition arrived smeared in elephant poop.
Maybe it was a Golden Showers edition.
Was it 8-bit elephant poop from Mega Man 9?
It might have been.
So October,
mm.
The first thing that was announced in October is the Nintendo DSi, which is the new version of the DS.
Which Activision aren't big fans of.
No. Activision does not like this. Well, I don't know. They haven't actually returned any of my emails. They won't talk to me about it. They'll talk to me about other things, but they won't address this. One of the things it does is it's got cameras. It's got a front-facing camera and a camera that faces the person. So you can actually you can take a picture of your face or the people in front of you and not have to rotate. It eliminates the Game Boy Advance port. So you can't play Mother 3 anymore, because I know you have Mother 3 out there and we don't. And the big thing is you can't play the Activision's top-selling DS game of all time, Guitar Hero, because the peripheral uses the DS port. And you also can't get Rumble in Metroid Prime Pinball.
Eh, that thing's crap anyway.
No, it wasn't.
The Rumble? Yeah, it was.
The Rumble was.
I don't know, because my copy of Metroid Prime Pinball never worked with my DS. It kept crashing.
So, the DSi was announced. It's already out in Japan. They don't know when they're releasing it in America, probably because of the sales of Guitar Hero. That, and I think what was happening was, I think the DS wasn't selling well at all in Japan, or it was it was going down, and so the new DSi was so they could get sales back up. And,
isn't
but
the
it's still
camera
selling.
On that thing like a 0.3 megapixel?
One of them is. One of them is, which is 640 by 480, which is VGA, which is
right.
What the DS operates at, and I think that one might actually be the one that points towards you. Like, I don't know. I haven't really looked.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I remember hearing that the one that was the really crummy megapixel camera was the one that was going to be pointing at you.
Right, and that way you're not taking pictures with it. It's more for gameplay and stuff, so it doesn't need to be a huge megapixel. But that's just my assumptions, which is me making an ass out of you and me. So, Bloodshot, you love this game. It's got a top hat.
Lyrics Delay, Little Big Planet.
The,
what the name of the song was.
I don't either, but it basically...
It's called I Hate the Koran.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
It was actually I Love the Koran. Here, let me sing you some lyrics from it.
Kill the infidel.
But and it was... It was
my Korans, let me show you them.
And it was a song from a Grammy-nominated... I don't know if... I think it was just nominated. Grammy-nominated artist from 2005 in world music. This is a song that he came out on his CD on 2006. It was one of his popular songs. And nobody had a problem with it until it was used in the third level of Little Big Planet. And one person emailed Sony saying, hey, you know, we're not supposed... You're not supposed to sing the lyrics from the Quran... I'm sure you guys didn't know about it, but if you could please patch it out, that'd be great. And so Sony said, oh, we're going to recall all the copies, even though it had already shipped to retailers.
They just remembered what happened to the Danish embassies around the world.
Yeah.
We're not having that. Mm-hmm. No way.
And then so apparently what happened, I guess, is that they didn't actually like press new discs. They just delayed the release until they could get the patch ready, which is why some people are saying maybe there was another bug, and that's why they just blamed it on the song.
Right.
Well, what's really interesting is the chap who actually made the comment was really apologetic. Going, it's not, I didn't want this to happen.
Yeah.
I didn't want this to happen.
He even
really
said that
apologetic.
In the original letter. He's like, can you patch it out and maybe your first patch? That's all he said. You know, and Sony was like, no, we're going to pull it.
He was very contrite about it. He said, look, come on, I'm really, don't do this. Don't, you're overreacting.
And then even like some Muslim groups also said that Sony was overreacting as well.
Yeah.
And the guy who wrote the song's like, I do it all the time in most of my songs. Nobody ever has a problem.
No.
I'm celebrating the Quran. So. So who wants to read the next one? The game that came out?
The game that came out?
Yeah, it's right under the Little Big Planet story.
Oh, okay. Wait. Oh, Guitar Hero World Tour. Proof the genre peaked with Rock Band 2.
That's right.
Yeah.
Genre peaked. I love music games. Genre peaked.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero is the beginning of the downward slide.
Yeah. You know. See that shark? It's jumped.
Flooded the market.
Yep.
Yeah. We definitely think it's... We're done.
Mm-hmm.
People, if they're trying to push something out again at E3 next year, there'll be much yelling.
They will. They said they were going to double the amount of Guitar Hero games, which means that we're going to get 4 next year. And you know, Rock Band 3 is going to come out. And,
yeah.
You know, and then there's the Beatles game.
I promised they wouldn't do this, but they're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And Metallica game.
Yeah, well, that's the Guitar Hero. That's one of the 4.
Yeah,
Guitar Hero is just a Metallica game.
Guitar Hero, Elton John, and Guitar Hero, Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
Any other nondescript crap you can think of. Yep.
So E for All, it occurred. The best booth at E for All was the All Games Radio booth.
Yes. But it still wasn't as good as PAX, because none of us were there.
Right.
That's what...
Dead Pixel Live did some great broadcasting from there. All Games Interactive reunited for E for All. Steve Wiebe was in the All Games booth. He actually broke a million on Donkey Kong. He didn't break the record, but he broke a million right there. And then they shut it down. They said, no more.
Yeah, we backed the right horse on that one, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, they said, you know, they... Black Wolf and Kropotkin and Bloodshot, none of those guys were here. It was a failure. Shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they said, where's Kropotkin? Where's Hendrix? He's like, oh, sorry.
But and then this led into E3. And this was the announcement that they were killing E for All, and E3 was coming back to somewhat of its former glory.
Yeah, I'm still not really sure how that's
working. Oh, no, it's going to be full-on hookers in the booths with you can do blow and all sorts of drugs when you show up there. It's gonna be awesome.
Family right? show.
Yeah, and
family show.
He basically it's the new E3 is gonna have they say they're gonna cap it at 40,000 attendees, which it was at like 68,000 the last real E3. It's not going to be invite only, but they're gonna screen people So you can't like just buy a ticket or anything, or you know, pay the $200 to get an exhibits only pass. They're actually going to screen. But they did say that for the media, they are actually going to make it easier for bloggers and podcasters to get in.
Right.
So you're not going to have to sneak in if you have a blog.
Nope. But you got to bring your own blogger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next.
So then the two games came out. And Hendrix, I know you played both of these. Two games that came out like 1 week away from each other.
Yep.
Mm.
Wrong, this was Fable 2, which was great until I got to the end, and then Fallout 3 came out as the best thing ever!
I am enjoying it too, actually. I'm really, really lost in Fallout 3 right now, so I have to... Well, I haven't even started Fable 2, but I'm seeking to finish Fallout 3, and I will be.
Well, you see, Crop, you gotta realize, I listen to your show. I love you guys' show. You would finish Fallout 3 much faster if you didn't save and reload all the time.
See? What'd I tell you?
I haven't done that. Well, actually, I did that today.
Probably took him 3 hours to get through some of the parts that took most people 15 minutes.
Yep.
Because there's a tumbleweed that rolled by. I didn't like the way it rolled past me. Got to reload.
Wait, the note said I needed to jump on the chair, and I didn't jump on the chair. Reload.
Yep.
That's a baby.
I didn't
hit the button enough to make the baby cry.
I've got this companion with me now in the game, and she died.
Oh, right. And I reloaded.
Yeah. No, love, you can't die.
I will say in the beginning of Fallout 3, when I was at, like, you know, when I was the baby, spoilers, you actually start as a baby. I actually sat there for 10 minutes just walking around hitting the A button, so the baby was doing baby talk. As I walk around, ba ba, ba ba ba. I just did that for like 10 minutes. And then, like, the entire time, Qui-Gon was talking to me.
Yes.
I was just hitting the A button and just talking right back at him. It was awesome. He's like, "Do you this is your mother's favorite thing." Blah, 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 blah. It's Revelation 21. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, dear.
But I actually finished Fable 2. It was short enough that I was actually able to finish it. And so I think that's why I did Fable 2 first and then did Fallout 3, because I knew I'd never finish Fallout 3 and I had a chance.
I really loved Fable 2 until I got to the ending, and then it just went eh.
And I was so happy because Fable 2, it had Book from Serenity and Firefly in it. And I was like, awesome.
Huh?
Shepherd Book from Firefly.
Yes, Serenity. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Firefly.
Oh, no.
Digital Firefly would approve.
He would.
So
the last story.
Yeah,
I wanna,
your UK
really
story.
Pick this up. Mm-hmm. So, Euro Gamer Expo. Happened mm-hmm. over two days.
Yeah.
It's during the middle of the week, like Tuesday and Wednesday, but it happened during the London Games Festival. Now, what's really interesting about this, then it wasn't really reported anywhere outside of Europe, but this was big. Mm-hmm. The whole of London had gaming events happening every day of mm-hmm. 7 days of that week. There was EA held a big event in the middle of Trafalgar Square. Eurogame had the Expo thing going on. That was great. There was also Little Big Planet had things going on in Covent Garden. There was also quiz nights and pub and rock band nights going on. There was some fringe events going on around. It was amazing. The whole of London just became this gaming festival. And it was really, if you're in London during the last week of October, you really should go to some of this stuff. Really, really good. And kind of privileged to be in that part of the world at that time. It was great. Big thumbs up. They did a fantastic job this year, and let's hope they're going to build from that. They promised they would. I talked to a lot of people, met a lot of people during it, and yes, it was great. It's really proud to be a citizen of this fine city for that week, because it was great. Really good.
So cool. So November, the big game that came out in November, which one of you guys played this a lot? Because I didn't.
I didn't play it a lot, but I played it. Gears of War 2 came out. I played it, beat it, and sent it back to Gamefly.
So is this really the bee's knees that everybody said it was?
It looks a little bit better. The story's better. But, you know, I wasn't a big enough fan of the multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, wasn't all that for me.
Even if you were a fan of the multiplayer, it didn't really work.
Yeah, well, the matching or whatever, matchmaking is, yeah, it takes like 5 minutes at times to find you a match.
Apparently that's taking its toll because it's moving down the top played games list very quickly.
Now, here's what I know of Gears of War 2 multiplayer. Apparently there's like one button and you send an invite to everybody on your friends list. Am I correct?
Yes, there's an option.
Okay, because I get those invites all the time. I'm like, it's inviting me. I'm like, I don't have Gears of War 2. They're like, oh no, that was just invited everybody.
They're encouraging people to do one of the things that really bugs me is when people send you invites for games you don't have or aren't playing.
Yeah. But this is just, it's a button. They're not even like specifically inviting you, so it just sends an invite to all 100 people on your friends list, because I know everybody has 100 out there, right?
Average is 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, three. Here you go, Bloodshot.
Moderation takes its toll in Little Big Planet.
No copyrighted material.
Even the levels that were made using the things that came in the bundle that you got for pre-ordering.
Yes.
Like, if you used the God of War stickers to make a God of War level with your God of War stuff and you posted it, they took it down. It's like, why would they even give you the stickers?
They also took down like some that had no copyright infringement. Like the name of the level was the name of a movie from like 2002
that four people saw.
Yeah. And they took that down, but apparently it was just because somebody reported it, it must be bad, ban. Then they deleted it off your hard drive at the same time. That was the part that got me. You know, so you spend all that time working. I mean, because I made a little crap level. My beta code level, it was like really, it's crap. I mean, feel free to say it. But it took me like 5 hours to make that piece of crap. And so I can't imagine how long it took people to make some of these really intricate, elaborate levels. And then just have them deleted off their hard drive.
Yeah, that would be pretty crushing to have that happen.
So, the big thing on the 360 came out. Hendrix, you want to talk about this one?
Oh my God, it's the new Xbox Experience!
With Netflix!
And community games!
And Netflix!
And Netflix! You can you can watch movies on your Xbox 360!
No, that didn't happen. Move on.
The new Xbox Experience did come out.
Yes, it did.
And community games came out.
Netflix thing. The community games, yes.
Yes. Which is kind of interesting, the community games. It's kind of like they're trying to do kind of the same thing as the iTunes App Store. You know, there's a little bit of, process that, you know, verification, peer review, and stuff, but it doesn't have to be a game. I mean, there was a silly app that came out for $5 that was a fireplace.
Fireplace.
Yep.
It was just a fireplace.
And, I mean, I feel bad for the guy because he made it as a joke and everybody is like bashing Microsoft over this being on there. And I'm like, well, you know, and because they're bashing it for $5. And unfortunately, the only points you can have, 200 points, 400 points, or 800 points. You cannot release a free community game. And basically, I think his idea was, okay, well, I'm going to put 400 points on this. But really, the way that the demos work is it's just a timed demo. It's not a specific demo. So you can look at the fireplace for 5 minutes, laugh at it, and move on with life. And everybody was complaining that Microsoft is charging for this.
Yeah.
When I don't think the creator was expecting people to buy it.
No, it's just like the fact that it exists is the joke. That's the point.
But, I like community games. We actually had one of your favorite heroes of community games, Nathan Fouts, the developer of Weapon of Choice. He was on my show.
Yeah. And, my game should be $100.
Bloodshot has some choice words about that game.
And it was funny because like I did the interview and then I listened to the Super Happy Fun Time show like the next day and that's when you guys ragged on him. I'm like, oh boy, they're going to have fun when they listen to this. Because basically what people don't, there was a quote which he fully admits to saying. He did not, because I asked him point blank and he's like, well, I did say that and here's why. But he said that he feels that Xbox Live Arcade games are too cheap. And basically because he thinks that they're worth a lot more than the $10 that they're being charged.
Well, you know, the counter to that is they're not too cheap because how many people, you know, other than a handful of those games you buy on the Xbox Live Arcade, you know, how many of those games do you play even a month later?
Yeah. But he speaks as a collector. He gave his reasoning. I didn't press him on it or anything. But right. he admits to saying it. He doesn't back away from it. He still believes that. So, yeah. Crop, you play MMOs.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Shout at you. I have played three MMOs over the past 6 months or so.
But what about this one right here?
I did actually play this on beta, Tabula Rasa.
I did
announced
too.
It's Sunset.
Yes.
This is a game that Mr. Richard Garriott, the space cadet that he is, he went flying off into outer space and came back and go, hey, that was amazing. Bye, NCSoft. I'm going to go do something else because my life's been changed. And as he did so, Tabula Rasa imploded and is now no more. In fact, he can play it for free right now until the end of January. This is a game that was WoW in space, only not as entertaining. That rather than exclamation marks above people's heads, they had little radio walkie-talkies, for example. That is the major difference. It was just when I saw him at E3 in 2007, he was standing there with dressed as he being Richard Garriott, standing there with this stupid uniform on, demonstrating this god-awful game, talking it up, and all these people, journalists lapping up going, oh, it looks great, it looks amazing, and it's just like, no, there's nothing here, there's nothing there. There's an old expression we have in the UK, it's basically all mouth and no trousers. Basically he didn't have anything to show for what he was demonstrating. There was nothing there, there was no game. People rapidly realised this, and it's dead. Oh, what a shock. And I suspect seriously that Age of Conan is going to suffer the same fate.
Yeah. Wasn't this game supposed to be a fantasy game at first? I could have sworn it was supposed to be a fantasy game.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was supposed to be a mix of sci-fi and fantasy, I think, is what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But it's going away. So don't say that the games are recession-proof, because they're not.
No, it's not about recession-proof. It's not about that. It's about that being that game bad.
Yeah, that game wasn't suck-proof. That was the problem.
You know this. There are so many developers out there now trying the MMO thing, thinking, oh, look, Blizzard can do it. And you just scream, but you're not Blizzard.
Yeah. I think too many people are making MMOs right now. Like, every game developer near me here in Atlanta, they're all making MMOs.
It's a waste of people's time and money. They should go do something far more. And just do some...
a music game. Do a rhythm game.
They should all... gang up and go to Blizzard and torch the WoW servers. Yeah!
Or they should just make a really good single-player RPG. I mean, look at The Witcher. Come on.
Torch the WoW servers! Yeah!
Makes me mad. And this will be the first of many casualties. Many casualties over the next 2 or 3 years. Trust me on this.
So in November, it was a big month here in the U.S. for sales. The Wii dominated. In the U.S., the hardware sales, over 2 million units sold in the month of November alone. That's a lot for a system that's like two years old. And then in number two was like the DS with 1.36 million sold. So, like, Nintendo's like, here, we're rolling in money, la 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 la, you know. Along with their friends at World of Warcraft, just like, you know, taking baths in pools of money. But the interesting thing about these, about the NPD numbers, is that, the Nintendo dominated the hardware, the Xbox 360 decimated the software charts.
Yes, that's what... still say, I mean, I know, yes, they do make money from Wii hardware sales. Not a great deal, but they do make some. And whereas money's in software. One knows that. And you're right, 360 is dominating on the software front. Right. Everyone's forgetting it.
So we have people telling us this is going a bit long, so we need to wrap it up. We're going to go into December. In December, the home public beta came out. That's this month, so we're not going to spend too long on December.
I just wanted to quote GCalNet.
Yeah.
Me. There you go.
Yeah. Basically, it's a vehicle to deliver people ads, and people assumed it would be more like Second Life, and they're wrong.
Yeah.
And
it's free. Quit ripping on it.
I think the game spaces will be interesting So basically, like, I plan on going into home, like, whenever they release a new game space, walking around it for, like, 3 minutes, and then leaving.
And if they're, like, the ones that are already out.
Yep. So, and then, last week, we, on my show, basically, Microsoft admitted that they knew that the 360 was defective.
And, yes, that's right. Yeah.
That's going
to
be ongoing.
Find that out.
We'll be talking about that in 2009. So, and one last thing, Hendrix.
You can still find it! Oh, God!
Travesty of the year.
Travesty of the year. We've run long. I apologize to that. We are Orange Lounge Radio is coming up next. Normally, we would be doing a throw to them. They have requested that we not because they want to get on as soon as possible. Thank you to all the listeners of Orange Lounge Radio who have been patiently waiting for us to be done. This is the only time in the year that I ever purposely go longer than an hour. Due to technical difficulties on my part, we didn't get started on time, so I greatly apologize for bumping you guys. This is not something that I plan to do often. I just figure one time a year, I hope I can get away with it, and looks like I can't after reading the Orange Lounge Radio chat room. I'm going to go ahead and read our chat room at allgames.com, and then we are going to be heading out. This is not going to take too long. I'm going to read it as fast as I can. So thank you to the live chatters in All Games for being with us for this long show. GK128, Hendrix, The Rob D, Barney Paper Sun, Burr, Channel Z, Eswat, Funnydale, Kitsune, Octocamo, Pepe, Refi, Stone Raider, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Ake Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Ben the Ripper, Bloodshot, how you doing? Citabria, Crispy, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DeBlue Guy, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, Fang, Game Guru, Goldanthro, Grave, GS60H, Gunstar Silver, Havoc978, Hecht, Hitstun, J. Irv, JP the Prodigy, Just Insane, Kazan, Kropotkin, Elfrost, Loserly, Melted General, Misty, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Outrage, Pen15, Prowler37, Punchy, Recon Elite, Shadow Next Gen, Sky, SSJ100, Matt, Sub-Z, Sully907, TDB30, Tedekin, That Gamer Girl, a.k.a. Jillio, TM95, True, Tuzik, Crazy Gamers, Valerno, VXJSnixV, Warham, Wilcon, Xenocore, and GZDR4EV. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
We'll see you in 2009. Bye. Friday Night Gaming is coming up January 9th. So, see you guys later. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.